Hello and welcome to the Experience Points Podcast, episode number 72 for the week of April 7th, 2010. To the Experience Points Podcast. I'm George Albor.
I'm Scott Chester.
And we are the co-creators of experiencepoints.blogspot.com, a site dedicated to the serious but not humorless analysis of video games and culture.
George, you mind passing me my umbrella?
Oh yeah, excuse me, sorry. We're actually recording outside right now. Yeah. There's a lot of
heavy rain.
That was bad.
No, it wasn't.
Okay. Moving on. Yeah. Today we're actually focusing again on a single title, much like we did with Silent Hill 2 weeks ago. We'll be talking about Heavy Rain, which both Scott and I have finished recently.
Mm-hmm.
It's the PS3 exclusive by Quantic Dream and David Cage, who previously released Indigo Prophecy and or Fahrenheit, which is kind of like the predecessor to the style of Heavy Rain.
Yeah.
What we're going to do is similar to what we did 2 weeks ago, which is we want to avoid spoilers for people who've not played the game yet.
Yeah.
We'll talk about mechanics and various other aspects of the game without trying to ruin anything. Yeah. And if we do accidentally ruin something, or when we get to the point where we're going to talk about spoilers, we will let you know. Mm-hmm. We'll give you a good heads up so you can turn us off and then go play the game for however many hours it takes you. Come back and finish up with us later.
Yeah. Or, since there's such a variety of endings and outcomes, you could play the game and try not to get our ending probably succeed.
So, this is actually kind of funny. We both got the same ending.
Yeah, and we'll talk about this, but not the exact same ending. So, there's still interesting things to be had later on.
True.
Okay, so going into it, Heavy Rain. I'm trying not to be glib about this, but I mean, it's basically
a glorified quick time event game. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. What's the problem with that?
Nothing, but I got to put that out there. I mean, it's like Shenmue or something like that.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is very different, and it's bizarre putting it in such a straightforward way, because I think there's a lot of negative feelings towards quick time events.
Yeah.
They're seen as just kind of an excuse to have the player not be involved in the things that are actually exciting.
Well, yeah, an excuse to make a fantastic thing happen on the screen without the player screwing it up.
Right.
But you know, like, the player can't be trusted to be awesome, so we have to show this and just limit the interaction.
Yeah, or we don't know how to make the player feel awesome.
Exactly.
Heavy Rain does the opposite and actually makes you feel significantly less awesome when you mess up being able to pour yourself a glass of orange juice or something. Which, to be fair, is realistic. I'm clumsy in real life.
Well, I think it's a good place to start, because it is glib to just call it quick time events, because it's not the... It's way more sophisticated in some respects than in even something like God of War, where it's usually just a one-button thing. The neat thing about it is that it's the quick time event commands are more subtly and creatively integrated into the environment. So if you need to do something, if your character has a phone in his hand, maybe the little triangle button will appear over his hand.
Right.
And so you'll kind of know from the context, oh, if I press triangle, he'll probably start using the phone.
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah, and they use the six-axis controller pretty well. Where
I disagree.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I completely hated the motion control in this
interesting.
Game.
Interesting. Well,
yeah.
I thought it worked.
Yeah.
It's still in a way that's very similar. It's all contextual. Mm. So if you're trying to shove something off of yourself, like in Silent Hill,
yeah.
you know, you'll jerk to the right or jerk to the left. Or if you're driving something, you know, you'll steer it.
Yeah.
There's also slow. It registers slow movement.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to slyly open a door or close a door, it'll keep track of that. If you're trying to rock a baby, you'll be moving the right thumbstick.
Yeah, you know, instead of just gently. Like a straight up Simon Says thing, it's actually more literal. It's actually more directly Simon Says. Like, you have to use the analog stick analogously to the speed that it is showing you to use.
Right, which I think is a...
It's definitely mixed. It mixes it up.
Yeah, and I think it's actually a move forward. I think that does a pretty good job of choosing where to put those buttons.
It's new, yeah. And also, I feel like, you know, it's weird to, you know, mash on a button when you're doing something mundane in a video game. And this game is just... replete with mundane tasks, right? So if you're flipping an egg or pouring orange juice, like you were saying, yeah, it doesn't really make sense that you'd swirl the analog stick like a maniac.
Yeah, but it's it's, to some extent, it's as close as we can get.
Yeah, well, until Natal comes out.
Until Natal comes out. Actually, if you're more curious about the controls in the game, I wrote a pretty extensive post about it, which you can find on the websites.
Yeah. So did you, I think it's worth talking about if you enjoyed it. I mean, clearly I think you were pretty, like, you were into it, right?
Yeah, I dug it. I thought it worked. There were absolutely times when I was frustrated or annoyed.
How'd you like the walking? Because the walking was, it felt like a blast from the past.
I didn't really like the walking all that much. You have to hold down the right trigger.
You kind of, I mean, the best way to describe it is like you kind of drive your person like a car.
You don't drive a car in a household because you'd bump into things, which is exactly what happens in the game. And you look like an idiot.
Yeah.
There were a lot of times, and it's also the character models. I think that their posture in the game was just ridiculously good, and it felt, and they didn't really look around while they were moving.
Yeah.
I think the reason for that is because depending on what you're looking at with your head, because you actually move your head independently of your body,
it changes to an extent.
To an extent, yeah. It changes what you can potentially choose to interact with.
Yeah.
And because of that, they didn't have the head move in a natural way.
Yeah.
You know, you're not really keeping a line of sight with any particular thing. You're just walking like a zombie straight ahead. And particularly in close quarters, it looks terrible and felt terrible.
Well, it's hard to not, like you were saying, it's hard to not get stuck in a corner because you have to kind of maneuver this person around. And I really didn't think that that needed to happen. Sometimes there's scenes in which you are in a very cramped space that would be hard to navigate analogously, so you just want that forward button. Kind of like the old Resident Evil games.
Yeah.
But, I mean, after playing something like Uncharted, I really don't think that they had to do it like that.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, but that being said, it didn't bother me after the first hour or so. I mean,
you did,
it did, but it wasn't something big. Yeah. It wasn't major.
That first couple hours was kind of rough, especially, and it's good that they started you out in a relatively low pressure situation to like get the kinks out before you started.
Yeah, the entire tutorial where you're brushing your teeth and all that.
Yeah. Did you feel like, you know, speaking of brushing your teeth, did you feel like the QuickTime events did a good job at acting as stand-ins for the action happening on screen?
Yeah, I thought so. I mean, it's kind of silly to be brushing your teeth with the right thumbstick. I mean, that's a tutorial
I think part, you shook so. It for the teeth, really? Right?
Well, I mean, I think you do a little bit of both.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, for the shaving, I know you use a different pattern. Yeah, I was fine with it. It didn't feel all that bad to me. And I actually mentioned it in my post. I think one of the reasons they did attach some of the mundane actions to the same button layout as the stressful actions was to convey that sense of your body being involved in both processes.
Okay.
You know? So, yeah, it worked. Even the calm moments worked for me.
I like what you said about the character being the same. Regardless of the situation, you're still doing the same types of actions. But that is also a drawback to me because I felt like, because QuickTime events are inherently contextual, I never quite knew exactly how things were going to play out.
Right, but that's kind of the point, right?
Well, I know exactly, like, if I go to, like, hit you right now, I know exactly how hard I'm going to hit you.
Okay, but I don't.
Yeah, but that's the point. I'm controlling me. But if I'm in a QuickTime event in Heavy Rain, and it's my same criticism of dialogue systems in games, like you know maybe the general sense of what's going on, but you're not quite sure what it'll be like in this context. And so sometimes I would go to do an action and it would be a completely different action than what I would think it's gonna end up being. You know, I thought I was going to pick up a certain origami figure on the desk, but it ended up picking some other completely object that I had no idea that I was going to pick it up.
Yeah.
And so, and it's the same QuickTime event command, which is like the quarter circle pickup command or whatever. But because each one of those is different in each situation, it lures me into this false sense of security. Like, oh, I know what this will do because it did this a few other scenes ago. And then all of a sudden it does something completely different.
Yeah.
And it's just, it seems like it's a...
Did you find that to be worse in the action scenes?
I don't know. The action scenes are different, like kind of a different beast overall. Like there are certain times where you'll get attacked or something. And I started disconnecting with those scenes a lot because it turned into more of just a press X not to die thing. And like I stopped really considering my actions and what was going on because I knew every single action I should do that. because not doing it would lead to failure.
Right.
And so, like, when you're just, like, you know, making breakfast or something, you're more likely to take it in and experiment with the actions and see if, oh, this really does kind of feel like flipping an egg. But in the action sequences, I'm so focused on getting the button presses right. I'm not really thinking about, does it feel like I'm swinging a bat here? And I'm like, no, I'm not. That's just, it's yay or nay. I pressed X in time. I didn't press X in time.
Huh. It still felt to me, I mean, whether or not it felt like I was swinging a bat or ducking in time, it still felt like I was in that situation, you know, that my body had to respond in a somewhat similar way in order to avoid a really high tense situation. So say, for example, I'm ducking from a bat swinging at my head.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether or not I felt, oh man, I really feel like I'm ducking all of a sudden. But when the entire sequence was done, I felt like I had actually participated in the QuickTime event instead of a lot of other QuickTime events that are considered terrible, where I just kind of push random buttons until the scene is over.
Well, I mean, I just felt like artistically, I think they did a good job at it, and they did a good job timing-wise, making the events match up to the animation and giving you just enough lead time to know what to press and when, so that it's not telegraphed from a mile away, you know, you're going to have to press X. But there were scenes where the same action was mapped to different buttons. Like, sometimes you'd have to shoot a gun or throw a punch. And sometimes the gun would be R2. And then in the next QuickTime event, to shoot the same gun, it would be L1.
Yeah.
And that just seems kind of like a cheap shot at the player. Like, we're just kind of going to mess with you to, like, keep you on your toes, not to make you learn the context and the actions in their context.
Okay, I understand that complaint, and I agree with you. I think changing the buttons, especially for the exact same action, is a flaw. However, there are times when, you know, jumping might be X, it might be square, it might be circle.
Yeah.
And in high-tense situations, I think that actually worked out really well. I was more concerned about, you know, trying to figure out what is going on in a situation. I think there's a level of panic involved when you're trying to escape a burning building or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And having the buttons change to be something unusual. And they were intentionally unusual. You would go from a scene of the mundane where it does exactly what you're expecting it to. But then in a really high tense situation, you know, the button could be anywhere.
Yeah.
And so I think it added to the I guess the nervousness in which I entered the action sequences, knowing that anything can happen and I need to be prepared for that.
I guess my problem with that is it's non-diegetic nervousness. Like, it's the same nervousness that we get when, you know, Psycho Mantis starts talking directly to us. Like, we're freaked out, but it's because we're freaked out because our perceptions as a player are being messed with. It's not because we're engaged in the story. Like the game is challenging us to be like, hey, player, guess what you're going to have to do in this one?
I mean, I still think it's engaged in the story. Most of the time, they don't really change the buttons all that much. Like, if you're trying to dodge a bat that's coming from your left, you're probably going to have to click a button that's on the left side of the controller. So this means the circle is off limits, as are the R1 and R2 buttons, which is almost always the case. Yeah. They may switch it up from square to R1, but in general, it's relatively similar of what part of your hand corresponds to what part of your body is on screen.
Yeah, I think the biggest offenders of this were the feet actions. Sometimes when you'd have to press like R1, but sometimes they'd flip it up, and like the other triggers would be the thing. Or sometimes you'd have to like do R1 for your right leg and then L2 for your left leg. I mean, it felt like. I didn't really mind those from a gameplay perspective because it made it challenging for me to play the game.
Well, sure, but some of it, though, is what are we exactly trying to hone in on here, right? That L1 should always be my left foot and R1 should always be my right? Or that the actions are somewhat similar? So, for example, when Jaden is trying to climb a hill and he's slipping, it'll go from, you know, R1 to L2 to R2 in a way that I think conveys how you have to do it strategically. You know, you're trying to figure out where the buttons are going to go. I don't think that scene would have worked if it had just been R1, L1, R1. And maybe I'm wrong with that particular scene.
Yeah.
I know it's something.
I know what you're talking about. And the biggest problem I have with that is that in a game that is so focused on telling the story of a player, of the characters, and trying to make the characters believable, it just strikes me as so gamey. You know, like the characters are doing a certain action that they should basically know how to do. And this happens a lot. Like, sometimes you'll just be doing something dumb, like picking up a glass or something, and then you can mess with the quick time event, and all of a sudden the character puts down the glass. It's like a grown man's forgetting how to pick up a glass.
Yeah, and that's why I think that it was worse in the non-action scenes, in the mundane scenarios. Mm-hmm. In the high action scenes, I could just buy it. I believe that people mess up and do stupid things.
Yeah.
I mean, I mess up day-to-day things. Sure. Sometimes I might put the remote in the refrigerator or something. Mm-hmm. it happens.
But see, that's the thing. That never happens because
to me, it does.
No, you would never put the remote in the refrigerator.
I mean, not intentionally, but there have been... once in my life, I have put the remote in the refrigerator.
I'm not talking about when you were drunk.
Me neither.
The problem is that they didn't make the player a part of the character's tension. Like, the tension is, for me anyway, was mostly reliant on just getting the quick time events right.
Sure.
I didn't feel like it was part of the story. I just felt like, wow, I don't want to fail this.
I understand more so in the mundane. The action scenes, I thought, really worked well for that.
It is a way to link them, definitely.
Yeah, but yeah. But even, for example, if I have to duck or something, there are those moments when, and in my post I equated it to a goalkeeper preparing himself for the inevitable penalty kick and trying to flexing his muscles and whatnot. Mm-hmm. There were those moments when I thought of the controller and I was trying to imagine what might occur, what button might occur when I'm about to dodge this person's weapon who's trying to hit me with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is connected to the same stress that the character is feeling.
As far as quick time events, I mean, it's a pretty neat spin on it. And I think they do a lot more than any other game has really done. I mean, that being said... what do we take from this, right? Like, as a design lesson? Because I don't really think that this game is very successful. Like, personally, like, I didn't feel very... Everything that was happening on screen, I still felt like there was a layer of QuickTime event in front of it.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know if that is... I don't really think that that is the goal. You know? So, like, where do we go? Like, what is the lesson here?
I mean... It's hard because I don't think that this is necessarily the best game to look at and say this is the future of video games, because I don't think that's the case.
Hard though because it's the best. It's the game that pushes QuickTime events further than we've ever been.
It's a vanguard of a future in which, you know, this type of storytelling is more easily told in video games and we kind of experiment more with what the controllers do and what and how we can tell stories in this type of universe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's necessarily a big lesson to learn from their design philosophy, you know? If anything, I think that the mechanics are something that we should, you know, improve on and say, well, okay, it works. To some extent, the story works.
Mm-hmm.
To some extent, the controls are good enough.
Mm-hmm.
What we can do for the future is mess with that and tweak that and iterate on that design.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that there's anything that we can call in this game and herald the new day, you know?
Yeah. You know, it seems like, regardless of whether you like it or not, it just seems like an important game that may or may not show some kind of future of, like, what people will be integrating later on. And, you know, we had just played Silent Hill, which I called basically a point-and-click adventure, but you use the Wiimote to, like, point-and-click and, you know, rotate to do various puzzles and stuff. And I think both of those games might be an interesting way of kind of reimagining the point-and-click adventure.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you don't want to just sit there and point-and-click and put together little puzzle pieces, there is some, you know, slight bit more of interactivity there. I don't know. I just feel like, for me, it was just hard to identify with the characters on screen when my stress was coming through a test that felt very little like what their test was.
Yeah. I mean, pretty soon I think we should probably just get into spoilers at this point. Yeah,
might as well.
Surprisingly, we talked a lot about the mechanics, and I think that's really good, actually, because I think that they really define how the story works in a lot of ways.
And we'll still talk about the mechanics, because it is part of the story, too. Like, the thing that we rarely spoke about was conversations and dialogue. And so in this game, you can hear what a character is thinking by holding down a shoulder button, and then a kind of a cloud of words appears around their head, and each assigned to a button, and you can see what they're thinking about at that point in time. Which I thought was a pretty neat way of at least getting a little bit of exposition and not making it crowbarred into the story. Yeah. Like, if you didn't want to listen to any of that stuff, just don't press L2.
That's true. And the voice acting was bad enough to where I kind of stopped doing that because I just didn't want to hear them talk anymore.
Well, the voice acting was so bad that I got to the point where I wanted to hear them talk more because I found it hilarious.
The other thing about the dialogue things going around your head... When you choose to hear what the person is thinking twice in a row, it sounds ridiculous. because they have two very different thoughts back to back. Like, oh, I wonder what's going on with the murder. Man, I sure am hungry. Like,
I don't know. I kind of, at first I was put off with that, and then I started interpreting it as just a poorly implemented version of what's going on in your brain at all times. Like, I would have liked it if one thought was huge and the other thoughts were smaller. Because right now in your head, you're thinking of a million different things.
There's a couple scenes where they do play with that.
Yeah.
Where one thought will be throbbing and the others will...
I wish they did that more.
I agree.
Because sometimes it's like, yeah, I bet that guy is hungry right now. I also bet he really wants to find the killer. You know? Yeah.
And so I thought and if I needed to know whether or not his desire for a Big Mac was much better than to solve a crime.
Yeah. I don't know. And the conversations kind of work the same way. Like, it's dialogue trees... and the answers kind of swirl around and vibrate and are integrated to the scene. Like, they'll appear on walls or something like that. I guess you can delay too long, right? And then a stock answer will start up in some of the conversations.
I think so. I didn't never delay.
That happens to me a couple times just to see what would happen.
That was the case in Indigo Prophecy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, so should we tiptoed around it enough? Should we,
let's talk about spoilers? Okay, so in 3, 2, 1... Turn us off. 3, 2, 1. Spoiler. Okay.
Spoilers. All right.
Scott Shelby is the murderer.
Yeah.
All right. We've gotten that out of the way.
At first, I was talking with a dear, dear friend of the site, Christian, about this on Twitter. I didn't realize that Scott Shelby was the murderer in everyone's game. It's kind of, it's neat now thinking about that.
It would have been cool if someone else, like Ethan, I don't know.
Yeah.
Real quick on the mechanics aspect, I wanted to mention the scene where Ethan chops off his own finger during one of the trials.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that scene was a good example of how it worked really well in preparation to that gruesome act.
Yeah.
Because I was involved in all of the little things, mechanically speaking, even things that could be considered mundane.
Well, that was the best thing of like the point-and-click adventure aspect, too. Like, I think I did pretty well in that scene, because you have to chop off your finger, and you're in a crusty old abandoned apartment, and it looks gross everywhere, and so you're trying to figure out the best way to do it. But there's, like, items scattered all around. Like, how did you end up chopping off the finger?
Okay, so I got the alcohol, which I did not apply on myself first, or drink. I don't know why he got it out then.
The alcohol or the rubbing alcohol?
The booze.
Okay.
I didn't even know there was rubbing alcohol. I had this, the soldering iron, essentially.
Yeah.
And then I had the piece of wood to bite down on, and I had the knife.
Okay. Did you use the axe or the knife?
I used the knife. I didn't use the saw.
I think I used... Well, there was also a hatchet.
Oh, I probably should have used the hatchet.
I used the knife because the knife... You found the knife stuck in a wall, which suggested to me that it was sharp.
That's good. That's not logic. I just didn't see any of the other implements.
And I found the axe on the ground, and I was like, ah, God, this has been on the ground. Like, I don't know what's up. And
a dog could have been here.
And I found that piece of wood to bite down on.
Yeah.
I went to the medicine cabinet and found like some kind of disinfectant to put on my finger.
Yeah, I found it. Oh no, I didn't find that. Yeah.
And then I found the booze to kill the pain a little bit. And then I did find the thing, the rebar to heat up in the oven to cauterize it afterwards. But that's why I think it's cool for like a point and click adventure type thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that scene was exactly. That, I mean, that's one lesson to learn, right? Those scenes were particularly effective.
Yeah.
If we can figure out why that worked as opposed to, you know, cooking breakfast for Sean, then, you know, we have some suggestions for future titles.
Okay, so what should we talk about? Like, that's one thing. We're just kind of jumping around. But, like, overall, like, I don't know. Like, it seems like this is a extremely story-driven game.
Yes.
Did the story... I'll just say it right now. The story made no fucking sense. There's so many plot holes in this thing. It was amazing.
Okay, I liked the story. I thought it was very compelling.
Uh-huh.
The voice acting was a major problem, and we've already talked about it.
Well, it's also a major problem because the dialogue was written like it was not...
Properly localized?
It wasn't Native American English. Like, there were certain words that would not be used in America, even though they're technically correct. They wouldn't be... Like, we wouldn't say wasteland to describe an empty lot. We would never say, like, gee, I hate this bureaucratic bullshit. Like, no one would ever say gee. I remember one time he called in Sean for dinner. He's like, Sean, your meal is ready. And like
who the fuck says your meal?
Yeah, no one. You'd say dinner's ready. Or you'd say come eat or something like that.
So no one says supper anymore, right?
Yeah, I mean, it might as well have been that. And like, there was just some glaring translation and localization things.
The reason I mention it is because it actually makes it harder to relate to the characters.
Yeah.
Anyway, I actually felt the story was compelling. I really liked Ethan Mars. I thought he was a somewhat interesting character. I believed his desire to help find his kids. And the trials, I thought, were just a clean, efficient way to tell the story of someone who is sacrificing quite a bit to save his kid.
Why did he black out?
Okay, I'm not trying to explain everything here. Yeah, I don't understand that.
He blacks out and he wakes up with an origami thing in his hand. And they drop that like a fucking lead weight.
Yeah, there are plot holes. I don't deny that. I actually thought originally, like you believed, that the killer would change depending on how you played it. I presumed that that was a piece that they accidentally left inside for when Ethan was going to be the murderer or when his psychologist was going to be the murderer. Yeah, that was upsetting. I think there are ways that you could force it. You know, you could say, oh, well, you know, Shelby's been fascinated with Ethan since the son died, and so Shelby has drugged him. Or Shelby knows that Ethan is prone to blacking out. The psychologist mentions that Ethan may be blacking out as a result of the trauma he received from after the kid.
Does he mention that to Shelby?
He doesn't mention it to Shelby, but again, there are ways that we can force an answer. We shouldn't be having to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's also some like morally reprehensible things. Like this guy's son is drowning I never understood how he knew which order to do the origami in, because it seemed like there was a video of what's going on and like a pre-recorded command or something. And it seems like depending on which origami thing he went to first, it wouldn't sync up to what's actually happening in reality.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if they were pre-recorded. I didn't presume they were pre-recorded.
So Shelby is seeing him do this? Shelby needs to run back, like make sure the camera's on, like...
Well, I think Shelby probably sets it up.
Shelby's also an electronic genius. Like, this guy has like...
No, my guess was that he records... I don't fucking know.
This game is retarded.
Okay, well, first off, the origami things were numbered. So, I mean, Shelby could have been like, Ethan could have been like, fuck this, I'm opening number 5. That probably tells me where he's at.
The other morally reprehensible thing was, your son is drowning slowly in this storm drain or whatever. I think that's about time to get it on with a woman I don't even know.
Okay.
I think that's a great... And then go to sleep?
Well, doesn't he think that he's failed at that point?
No, he knows. I came back from icing
Ethan
a dude.
Ethan is a very tired man, okay? He's got a lot of weight on his shoulders.
And he doesn't
You
even
gotta
know.
Find ways to let loose.
Madison doesn't even know who this guy is. She randomly runs into him in the hotel and starts taking care of him.
Okay, their romance was not the best thing either.
And he's like, oh man, my son's dying, but man, gotta get a piece of that sweet ass. Like, oh man, I'm tired. I better take a sleep before I have one more origami thing to do, but I better go to sleep first.
He chopped off his finger, dude.
And also,
unless you didn't.
I chopped off a finger. I got like horrifically burned and cut up,
in the tunnel,
and like burned in a car wreck. And then I'm like, yeah, baby, hop on. My ribs are broken and everything, but that should be just great. Like,
it could have been missionary. You don't know.
It's terrible. Like, it just, I don't know. Their whole relationship was pretty much one of the dumbest things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
In games.
I was more surprised Ethan was cool with it. Because, I mean, that woman was very forward. Madison is a very brazen person, and I think she might have some psychological issues.
Well, and there was another thing when Madison went to the old woman who ends up being Scott Shelby's mom, and she finds out who the killer is, she's like, oh my God, shocked face. And it's like, why are you shocked? You have no idea who this person is. You've never met Shelby.
Maybe she knows someone else named Shelby. never mind. That's not Scott Shelby. I thought it meant Ron Shelby.
Yeah, that's the thing. It was like her face made it seem like, oh my God, Ethan's the killer. But like, and also there was another point.
Okay, well,
where
I could force it. I think I could safely make the argument. She's a journalist. She's already been researching the origami killer. Mm-hmm. She knows that. Well, no, never mind. She wouldn't know that.
And there's also a point where, like, Ethan's in trouble or something. Oh, no, okay, yeah. Ethan goes to the last origami trial, and the player is playing as Madison. And she's like, okay, who should I call? Should I call Jaden, or should I call Ethan and tell him where his son is? And it's like, Jaden, you've never met Jaden. She has zero conversations.
Like, how does she get his number?
How does she have his phone number? Like, what? It makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah. Plus, so, why don't you just call both?
Yeah, you have a cell phone. I don't know. There's just, again, the story is incredibly bad.
Okay, so there's a lot of plot holes. That being said, I mean, was the overall story at least compelling? Did you like the fact that... Do you think that the murder mystery or the cop detective aspects of it worked for the type of gameplay that they were doing?
Yeah, I think it's kind of neat, especially the finger scene, especially when...
I think all the trials were actually pretty cool.
I thought the car one was pretty bad because it relied on the motion control.
Yeah, and you didn't
I mean, like, I also think that the Shelby was clearly my... I mean, we share a name. How could we not be favorite best buddies? I mean, but, like, Shelby was my favorite because I just like that hard-boiled cop-type character. And, you know, I liked asking people questions and investigating things and stuff. I mean, that was fine. And, you know, the rest of it is, like, Saw or Seven or, you know, any other kind of Silence of the Lambs type thing. You know, it's...
Yeah, it's a little bit predictable.
But I mean, I like that. It's fine. Yeah, it works. Like, yeah. I mean, that is, it is a good murder thriller, you know? I mean, not a good one, but it is, it, like, it, it is a
decent one.
It is a murder thriller, something that we've seen before. And so I'd be interested to see what, you know, what Ron Gilbert could do with this thing.
If you wanted a really comic version.
Yeah, or yeah, have a comic version or, you know, what kind of story Ken Levine would have.
Well, but I mean, at least I think that's important to note, right? Maybe the plot wasn't too great, but if the mechanics and the way that the story was displayed worked for what they were trying to say, then that's maybe not a perfect formula, but at least a good map or route towards similar interactive storytelling.
The tools aren't bad.
Yeah.
It's just what was crafted is not good, I don't think. I mean, it's just something that... There's also a lot of... I'm going to write a post on this, so I'm not going to do but, a huge thing. There's also a lot of little detail errors. Preview. The license plates were wrong. American license plates do not look like that.
Picking some nits, I was going.
If you... No, like, you're making... Like, the point of this game is reality.
Yeah, atmospherics.
Right, like, yeah, exactly. And so when I take a look at this car and it has crazy license plate, it doesn't make any sense.
Did you think that the rain was heavy enough?
Actually, there were some, like, major, like, weird graphical problems with my game, and I don't know if that was, like, just me or if that was everyone. There was a point where the windshield wipers, the arc of the liquid that they were brushing off the windshield was farther than the physical wiper. That's a physical impossibility.
I don't think I would even have noticed
that. This is the kind of thing that kills me about these things, because this game is all about the details, and so many of the details are wrong.
Were you wearing your Airy glasses at the time? That is some detail that you noticed.
I don't need my Airy glasses. I'm like Scott Shelby. Oh, wait, no, that's not a good thing. Okay, well, we should talk about Jaden a little bit, and this kind of leads into our ending. So, okay, so how did yours end?
So
final scenes.
Okay, so for both of us, none of the characters died.
Yeah, except for Shelby, which...
Except for Shelby, but he killed. Had it coming, to be fair.
Was your ending the same? Or did you? It was like at the docks, and you were like climbing up a crane.
Yeah, and then he fell into some slicing machine, which I'm still confused.
Oh, I don't think my guy fell into a slicing.
Well, how did you kill Shelby?
I shot him off a crane. Maybe he did fall into a slicing machine.
He was on. It wasn't a crane. It was like a conveyor belt that was going towards some slicing mechanism.
Oh no, that was not. Okay. That did not happen to me.
And then
at all.
I knocked him unconscious, and he fell in.
So when Ethan saved his kid, Scott Shelby appeared behind Ethan and Madison. And was like, oh, congratulations, you're the first person that ever solved my thing. I'm going to have to kill you anyway. He shoots Ethan. Ethan goes down.
Oh, and he actually shot him.
Yeah, and then Madison starts running, and I am then controlling Madison.
That is interesting. No, so what happened was he was about to shoot Ethan, and then Jaden shows up first and tackles him. And then they get into a fight that takes them three stories up for some reason.
So Jaden's
then
the big
Madison
hero.
Shows up.
So Jaden's the hero, and you're...
Yeah, Jaden is the one who offs Shelby.
In mine, Madison, that woman is trouble.
She gets shit done.
She gets in trouble wherever she goes. It's either a psychopath or like a crazy bar guy. Like,
it's not her fault.
So at this point...
You know the DLC, the taxidermist? It's her again.
Oh, God. What kind of horrible situation is she going to get into? So in mine, she was like on top of a huge crane and she had like sprained her ankle or something. And Shelby was like, I'm going to have to kill you now. And all of a sudden you hear a gunshot ring out. And then you see Shelby's eyes go wide. And Ethan, inexplicably again, is there at the top of the crane with a gun and has shot Shelby.
Huh.
And then shoots him again, then he falls off the crane. And then everyone lives happily ever after. He and Madison end up...
Well, where was Jaden?
At the cop? I mean, at the...
Oh, so Jaden didn't figure out where the crime was going down.
No,
that's why.
I was so sick. I tried to get through the airy sequences as fast as possible because I hated them. It was so boring. It could not have been more boring.
You didn't like that background?
You're literally going through menus. Okay. Who cares about the background? The gameplay is menus.
I like being involved in trying to solve the murders.
But you're not solving anything. You're just clicking on things.
Yeah, I'm clicking on things. Yeah. But there's this level of having all the information out there. Mm-hmm. So a lot of what was interesting to me in those scenes was going on in my own head. Yeah. It was me trying to, like, okay, well, what was going on? You know, how can I get Jaden to realize what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the last scene has some video recording of him in the fight in the bar. And it's interesting. You get to rewind it and try to locate the scenes. Yeah, you could say it's just involved clicks and stuff, but I think it requires some detective work in your own head, at least.
I completely bypassed all that stuff. Well, amazing.
So there's one difference, yeah. So yeah, Jaden actually showed up and helped save the day.
So in mine, Jaden ended up, at the end, just kind of retiring from the FBI. And he turned in his gun and his badge, and he turned in his VR glasses, too. In which case, that suggested to me that what he was addicted to the whole time was this virtual reality. And he was going through withdrawals. And it wasn't the drugs. The drugs was like treating the withdrawal of the reality.
Which I think totally makes sense.
Yeah.
I actually ended up using some of the drugs on accident, some of the chip cocaine. Yeah. And I didn't catch on until I had finished with the game that was the case.
Yeah.
At the very end, Jaden removes his Airy glasses, and he still sees fake reality things. Like, nice. There's little tanks on his desk.
Yeah.
So
that's, yeah, mine, he just was like clean and sober and he left at the end.
I actually think that the epilogues were some of the weakest aspects of the storytelling.
Did Ethan and Madison end up shacking up?
They shacked up. They got a nice apartment.
That's a terrible apartment.
Well, the flat. They didn't have a room for Sean.
Yeah, exactly.
That's going to be awkward when
they clearly
making love.
Yeah. that happened to me too. I guess that's probably it for the differences since we both did the same thing. Oh, yeah, that's one of the other things that pissed me off about the QuickTime events, because I knew Lauren was unconscious, and so I was like, all right, I'm going to free myself, kick the window out, grab her on my way out, and then it'll be fine. But no, he just fucking leaves her. Like, he's like, all right, peace out, and then swims out of the car.
Yeah, the same thing happened to me, actually.
And I didn't know. I mean, maybe if I had untied her first, I could have then woken her up and then got her out, but there's no way to know that.
Right, that was the most noticeable mistake. And I went into the game knowing that if I make a mistake, it's my own fault, and I'm going to keep going with the story.
Yeah.
And on several occasions, that happened.
Yeah.
That scene, I restarted the entire scene.
Wow.
It pissed me off. I didn't know what that button meant.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I kicked in the window, I was like, wait a second, I wanted to untie her. What am I doing? And then he just leaves her there?
Yeah.
I mean, sure, maybe that fits in for Shelby's persona as the murderer.
Well, I mean, even in the subsequent scene where he goes to the...
They're the old...
multi-millionaire dude. Yeah.
Mr. Burns?
Yeah, when he goes to Montgomery Burns' mansion, he's mad when he mentions Lauren. He says, like, don't ever say her name again. So clearly he must have cared for her or something, which is, makes it even weirder that he would just abandon her.
Ironically enough, they kiss.
Oh,
really? If you don't have her die, yeah.
Wow,
At the train station, he tells her to leave.
Do they kiss passionately, or is this like a...
You saw the kissing in the game. It's not exactly the great...
But, I mean, like, is it like a here's looking at you kid thing, or is it like a... I want to do it. Yeah,
it's a romantic kiss, certainly, but it's a there's an age difference. Maybe we should call each other and figure this thing out. Kind of kiss.
Wow, that's weird. I mean, I don't. That's interesting that they. I was always wondering where that would go. It's too bad that I left her to drown.
Yeah, maybe you should have thought about that. So one story element. Were you surprised that Shelby was the killer?
I started catching on once I realized one that Shelby was clearly the best actor. And then they would give him the best role. But that's like a meta game that I play with myself. Like, whenever someone asks me, like, oh, do you think this person will be killed and lost? I'll be like, nah, their agent's too good to let them be killed off. Like, this person's going to be here till the end. Like, and so that's like the meta game. The in-game clues that tipped me off was when Lauren was persistent about finding the killer. And he was like, come on, Lauren, let's call it a day. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, aha, there's a typewriter on your desk.
Oh,
and he's like... Typewriter? Who knows about typewriters? It's like, well, clearly you do, sir. Yeah,
I've got
you
an know. Old friend.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's when I kind of realized what was going on. And that was neat. You know, it's cool.
Silent Hill Shattered Memories was about a father trying to find his kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ethan's doing exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
I haven't played Bioshock 2 yet, but I hear a lot of talk that it also has father-daughter or father-son elements to it.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how well you thought Heavy Rain succeeded in telling an adult story.
There were certain things that I think I'll be interested if I ever remember to play this game again when I have kids, because I feel like no matter how bad the dialogue is, there's certain emotions that it taps into that maybe can only be understood if you've lived through that stuff.
Sure.
The only thing that struck home for me was like when you visited the old woman in the nursing home and she was kind of forgetting where she was and who she is and who you were.
Yeah.
And that's the only real thing I've had like experience with in my actual life. And so that kind of affected me, but it wasn't because of the game. It was because what I was bringing into the game.
Right.
But you know, it was fun. Like when he was playing with his kids and like doing airplane ride and like piggyback and wrestling and stuff like
and
that.
And losing intentionally.
Yeah. And like, and I lost intentionally.
So did I.
Because I wanted the kid to win. Like I would play with a kid in real life. Like right. If I was playing sword fight with a kid, I would let the kid win. Yeah. You know, after giving him a good fight. And so that's what I did. So that was kind of neat. You know, and like the kids are terrible actors, so like I didn't even really look at them as people because like they didn't like.
Well, you don't really look at children as people anyway, Scott.
Not until, you know, they don't even have souls until they're what, 14 or something? At least. Like, but I mean, I think the relationships had like fleeting moments of real kind of genuine emotion. A lot of the times it was kind of like a MacGuffin, you know, like you got to keep going for this kid. And like, I didn't really care about the kid. I just wanted to see what the next thing was going to happen. Like I wanted to see the next trial basically.
Yeah. I do think that it was pretty powerful to ask the players whether or not they would do something similar, you know, theoretically. And, you know, I've got a niece, two nieces now. Mm. So it wasn't hard for me to imagine a situation where I was asked to take great lengths to save someone.
Well, the other thing about that is you can fail those scenes and you can walk away too. So,
yeah, exactly.
And just not get that clue
and
to figure
failure,
out.
And be a failure, yeah. And it only happened once. I didn't kill the guy.
Oh, I killed him.
Yeah, that's funny.
I didn't... At that point, I played these weird games with, like, in my head while I'm playing some games, and I had this rule where every time Shelby had the option to drink alcohol, I would do it. Like, to excess. I would make him drink as much alcohol as possible.
Yeah, you were role-playing. You chose who you wanted to...
I would... And at a certain point, I just wanted Ethan to create as much chaos as possible. And so, like, I would...
Well, I don't know if that's really role-playing.
And so, I was like, all right, what's going to happen? So, I went in here to the... I went into the, you know, the drug lord's house or whatever and instantly drew my gun. Then we got into a fight. And then, like, when he's like, no, don't kill me. I was like, click. I didn't even, like, let him beg or anything.
He had kids of his own.
Yeah.
You bastard.
Well, I mean, Ethan still vomited in disgust after that scene. So, I mean, I just wanted to see what would happen.
But it's interesting, though.
Also, that's another plot hole. If I was Ethan, I would examine every single square inch of what I got from the killer. The clue was in the gun barrel or the gun stock or whatever. Again, another plot hole.
You are a far smarter man than Ethan Mars, Scott.
Is there anything else that we should...
Well, real quick, I feel like the game was designed very intentionally, right? I think David Cage knew really well what he wanted to accomplish.
Oh, yeah.
Whether or not he succeeded, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, who do you think that the game was designed for, and who do you think should play it? If you were to suggest it. I mean, maybe you hate the game so much, no one should play it.
I mean, I think that if someone liked Uncharted 2, they should play this game. And I think
is that a knock on me?
No, it's not. I just think that if you are interested in like a narrative driven, a authorially driven narrative experience, like I would tell Clint Hawking to stay the hell away from this game because this is like exactly what he's afraid of. But if you're, and you know what, I would also say it would be fun to kind of play in a group of people and, you know, have their input as to what you should do. If you give yourself over to the story and it works for you, then I think it's pretty good. If you stray at all from the path, like you start coming up to things that will just frustrate you. You know, like I think it rewards a certain buy-in to the universe of the game that something like the polar opposite of Just Cause 2, it's like a game that rewards you for trying to break the game versus a game that rewards you for trying to carefully piece together what the options are given by the designer and not ask what's behind the curtain.
Right.
Because the minute you start asking what's behind the curtain, you realize that, why the hell does Shelby have some weird mansion with like 7 monitors set up in a red hallway? Where is that place? They never even explained that.
Downtown.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, there are so many things that can break the game, even to the point of like, and this is probably because I was playing Just Cause at the same time. Like, I started.
Where's
like,
my parachute?
Yeah, I was like, I started messing with the animations just to make things look stupid. Like, I you know, you can slow down the animations to, like, open doors or, like, roll down things. And so I'd, like, open the door as far as I could.
Well, wouldn't it be
and fair? Then stop.
Wouldn't it be fair to say at that point you had given up on the game already?
Maybe, but they show you how to do that in the first scene.
Yeah, but just because they show you how to do it doesn't mean you should, right?
They literally have text on the screen that says the animation, like,
if you want to open and close a refrigerator door, they do.
When Ethan is there, he's like, I think the text is, the speed at which you use the analog stick controls the animation. Try it.
Yeah.
And so you can make him look like an idiot in the first scene of the game, and it tells you to do that.
Yeah, I guess, but there were times when I did do that because I thought it made a better story.
Sometimes that does. Yeah. I think sometimes, especially when you lean against walls slowly or something, but if you mess up, then your character kind of spazzes out and goes back to neutral position.
Yeah, that's true.
And so at a certain point, I was just kind of like messing with the characters to see what the outer limits of the game were.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, it's weird because the game invites that on itself. But then they don't tell you that if you mess with it, it'll start looking terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's weird. It's brave of them to do that. And I guess if I wasn't such a jerk, I would have, like, stopped. But, I don't know. All in all, I would, at the end of the day, I would play another game like this just to kind of see what they did with it. Even if it's not really my cup of tea, I think it's, you know, it's something to be discussed. Hopefully it doesn't get emulated too heavily is my thing.
I think I'm along the same lines. I don't think that everyone would like this game. Yeah. I do think everyone should play the game,
though. Yeah, kind of similar to Silent Hill, actually. And it's weird, like, it's an important game, I think. Even if you can only play a few scenes, I think you can kind of get the idea.
Yeah.
As long as you play the right scenes.
Yeah.
And by right scenes, I mean nude scenes. Oh, that's another topic for another day. Yes. We already did a nude podcast.
We did it again.
We'll do another one later on.
But I mean, whatever.
All right, folks. Well, if you have been troopers and stuck out this entire podcast / spoiler cast, thanks. We appreciate it. As always, feel free to write in with your thoughts and suggestions. experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
If you want to leave your comments about how Scott's an asshole, the site is experiencepoints.blogspot.com. We update Monday, Wednesday, and Friday evenings. Bring your friends.
Just remember to hold the left mouse button while pressing your control stick left, or else you'll have to start over.
Yep, totally.
All right, until next time, take it easy.
Have fun. Bye.